Good. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Tezayin. So we left off last line of Tesavav on with Beis. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, remember again, we had the interesting statement where they approached Rabbi Yoshua. They approached Rabbi Yoshua and they wanted to know who does the halacha follow b'shamay b'shilo. Remember, Rabbi Yoshua was reticent to answer because Rabbi Yoshua was concerned that he was getting in the middle of a major machlokas. So the Gemara says over here, last line, I actually realized you should have finished that line yesterday, but we'll finish it now. V'amaluhu, saros animisyari. So Rabbi Yoshua said, the truth is, what I'm concerned to answer about is the status of the co-wives themselves. However, again, top of Tazayin, b'nei saros animei lachem. But I will tell you the status of the offspring of these unions. What's the status of the offspring of these unions? The Gemara says, Tashma b'mei Rabbi, excuse me, b'nei tzaros animei lachem. So we'll say, because again, Lamaisi, he says, I'll tell you about the offspring is, we know that the families of prominent Kohanim Gidolim were descendant from these marriages that were blessed by Beis Hillel. So I'd rather not comment on the status of the co-wives themselves, but I will tell you again that the offspring is absolutely kosher and yasher. V'haray, there are Kohanim Gidolim who come from them. Fine. Tashma, b'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, hutshrat saras habas la'achim. In the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, listen to this. So in the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, they permitted the co-wife of the daughter, co-wife of an erva, to go ahead and marry the brother. Shmamin, so we'll say, remember, that's in accordance with who? In accordance with Beis Hillel. Because remember, again, according to Beis Shammai, excuse me, I'm sorry, according to Beis, that's in accordance with Beis Shammai, excuse me. So remember, because just to once again review, Beis Shammai holds that in a case of Saras erva, so Lemaisa, again, it's only the erva wife who can't do yibum, but the other wife can do yibum. According to Beis Hillel, whenever you have a case of Saras erva, there is no din of yibum at all. So here the Gemara is saying that these Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, they allowed its Saras Habas to go ahead and marry the brother, i.e. do yibum, shmamina asu. So see from here that what? See from here that Lemaisa, they went ahead and they paskined like Beis Shammai, and not only did Beis Shammai have their psak halacha, but Beis Shammai actually carried through on their piske halacha as well. The Gemara says, indeed, shmamina. Gufa, b'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. So now the Gemara goes back and analyzes this story. This is Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. So they allowed the co-wife of the daughter to go ahead and marry one of the brothers. And the truth is, this psak halach Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was very upsetting for the Chachamim. Because here was the issue of Osei. Here you have a great sage, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, paskining like Beis Shammai. Paskining like Beis Shammai, when in fact the majority opinion was like Beis Hillel. So says the Gemara, it was very difficult for the Chachamim. Furthermore, the Haya, the Inav Kamam Lavim Beis Medrash. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus at this point in time was also already blind. So because he was blind, he did not come to the Beis Medrash, and therefore again they did not have the opportunity to dispute Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. So what happened? Listen to this. Amar Umi Yelech Viodiu. So the rabbis in the Beis Medrash said, okay, we have to pay Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus a visit, and we have to find out what's going on over here. He paskin against Beis Hillel. We have to find out what's happening here. So who's going to go to him, right? Who's going to go? Who's going to volunteer? Who wants to go on the road trip to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus and tell him that we think he's wrong? So Amar Rabbi Yoshua ani elech. Rabbi Yoshua says, I will go. The achar of me. And they said, okay, who else is going? Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. Okay. Rachar of me. Who else is going to go? Rabbi Akiva. Hochu. So now we'll see Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. But Hochu, they went. And they stood at the doorway of Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus' home. Michnesa Shivchaso. So Rabbi Dosa's maidservant saw that they were there. So these rabbis were there at the front door. Amrolo, she said to Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Chachmi Yisrael Barnet Lecha. Rabbi, the Torah scholars are here to see you. Amrolo, so he said, Rabbi Dosa said to his maidservant, Ikansu, please bring them inside. Vinichnesu Tafsu Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus took Rabbi Yoshua. Vahoshivuhu al mitat shel zahav. And he set him on a golden couch. A golden couch, meaning he was mechabed. He was mechabed Rabbi Yoshua in a very great way. Amar le Rabbi. So Rabbi Yoshua said to Rabbi Hanina, to Rabbi Dosa, he said, Amar le tamid, Amar le tamidecha, Amar le tamidcha achar v'yeshiv. So we'll say, so now Rabbi Yoshua is seated. He tells Rabbi Dosa, please, there's another Talmud here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, please seat him as well. Amar lo mihu. So Rabbi Dosa said to Rabbi Yoshua, because remember, Rabbi Dosa is blind. So Rabbi Dosa says to Rabbi Yoshua, tell me, who is this other Talmud? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Dosa says, Amar, v'yeshlo ben la'azariah chaderim. Are you telling me that our friend Azariah has a son? So apparently, Rabbi Dosa knew Rabbi Elazar's father, Azariah. So he couldn't believe that Azariah, his friend, had a son who first of all was older and also was a respected Talmud Chacham. So listen to this. Kara alav hamikra. So Rabbi Dosa said about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the following pasuk. Hamikra, kara alav hamikra zeh. Nar hayisi v'gam zakanti. I was a young man and I got old. V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav. And I never saw a tzaddik who was forsaken. Bizarro mevakish lachem. And his offspring was seeking bread. Now, obviously, why did he say that about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Azariah, Rabbi Elazar's father, was incredibly wealthy. And he had left that wealth to his son, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, Elazar ben Azariah, as much as his occupation was learning the Beis Medrash, was fabulously wealthy. So Rabbi Dosa was happy to hear that his friend Azariah's wealth had passed down to his son, Rabbi Elazar. Okay. Tafso Vahoshivu al mita shel zahav. So he also went ahead and he had Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah sit down on a golden couch. Amar lo Rabbi, Amar le tamidach achar v'yeshev. So now Rabbi Yeshua against us, Rabbi Dosa. So Rabbi, there's another Talmud here. Please seat him as well. Amar le umihu. So Rabbi Dosa says, Rabbi Yeshua, tell me, so who is this Talmud? Akiva ben Yosef. The Talmud is Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva. Amar le, so now Rabbi Dosa says to Rabbi Akiva, so beautiful. Atahu Akiva ben Yosef, sheshimcha holech misofa olam ba'ad sofo. Are you Akiva ben Yosef that everybody speaks about? Your reputation has gone from one end of the world to the other end of the world? So beautiful. So he says, shave b'ni shave. Please sit, my son, sit. Kimoscha yirbu b'Yisrael. There should be more like you within the Jewish people. And I will say, it's interesting over here that he did not seat Rabbi Akiva, according to Yimar, did not seat Rabbi Akiva on a golden couch. So the Mashal points out the reason for that is because Rabbi Akiva was a junior sage to the previous two. So to show that Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud to Rabbi Yoshua and to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he did not seat Rabbi Akiva on the same kind of couch as he did his two Rebbeim. But nevertheless, he seats him. So now everybody's sitting around. Hizchilu misavavin oso b'halachos. So they began to literally, misavavin means like encircle. So they began to ask Rabbi Dosa a whole bunch of halachic questions. So we'll say, so it's interesting, because remember, they're not fit to shoot the breeze, right? They're there to find out something very specific about the case of Tzaras Havas. Because remember again, word on the street is that Rabbi Dosa is allowing for the co-wife of an erva to go ahead and do yibum with one of the brothers. They are upset about this because Lamaisa, at the end of the day, what does this represent? At the end of the day, this is again Beis Shammai, and they're passing like Beis Hillel. So therefore, they don't want to begin this discussion immediately. Instead, what they do is they begin talking in general terms. Ad shegiu l'tzaras habas. So they begin talking in general terms until they get to the question of tzaras habas. Amrulei, tzaras habas mahu. So see, Rabbi Dosa tell us, what is the halacha concerning the co-wife of an erva? Is she permitted in yibum or not? Amrulehen, machlokes b'shan b'silam. Right. So what is the answer? Oh, it's machlokes. They'll say, nobody wants to step in this one, right? You know, it's machlokes. So they said, okay. Halacha kedivrei mi. Who does the halacha follow? Amar lohem. Very simple. Halacha kebeis hillel. Says, wait a minute. The halacha follows beis hillel. Therefore, they both say, no yibum. No yibum. So they said, Rabbi, amru lei. Ba'alo mishmecha amru halacha kebeis shammai. But Rabbi, we heard in your name that you paskin like beis shammai, that there is yibum in this situation. Amr Salah. So listen to this. That's how careful you have to be in life. Amr Lahem, Dosa Shamatem, O Ben Hirkin Shamatem. When you heard the name, when you heard that somebody said that Talach was Beshamai, whose name did you hear it in? Did you hear it in the name of Dosa? Or did you hear it in the name of Ben Hyrcanus, the son of Hyrcanus? Remember, it shall be Dosa Ben Hyrcanus. So whose name did you hear? Did you hear it in the name of Dosa or Ben Hyrcanus? Why? Amrule, Chaye, Rabbi Stamshon, Rabbi, to be honest, we heard it in the name of Ben Hyrcanus. But who else is Ben Hyrcanus besides you? You're Dosa Ben Hyrcanus. Listen to what he says. Amrulahem, this is amazing. Ach katan yeshli bechar satanu. I have a brother. I have a little brother. And he is like the firstborn of Satan. Right? It's a good one to use if you have younger siblings, right? I have a brother and he's mamish. He is a bechar to the satan. They both say, when Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus says this, what he's saying is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, bechar satan who harif ba'omeit al shmua. So both say, he's very sharp. My brother is very, very smart, very sharp. Ba'omeit al shmua, ba'osemase. You know, we'll say, we all know people like this. When he believes he is right, he is right. It doesn't matter, you know, there are some people where it doesn't matter if the whole world tells them they're wrong, they're right, and everybody else is wrong. That's sometimes that's true, but more often than not, it's even the person's wrong. But there are some people who are just are always right. But also ma'asa, ve'eno shav mishmu aso la'asos kiratim. He never yields. He never yields. So meaning, again, if he thinks he's right, even if the majority paskins against him, or paskins not like him, he will always remain embedded in his position. The Yonason Shmo, his name is Yonason, the Hu Mitamide Shammai. He is the student of Shammai. So I say Rabbi Dozo says, I never said that the Lachval Shammai, Lachval is Hillel. You probably heard that Ben Dosa says that the Halacha follows Shammai. And who is the Ben Dosa? Ben Hyrcanus, I'm sorry, thank you. Ben Hyrcanus follows Shammai, and who is Ben Hyrcanus? They're probably in the name of my brother. But I, just to set the record straight, says Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus, I paskin like Beis Hillel. But again, listen to what he said. Zaru sholi kapech eschem ba'alachos. Just be careful. Don't get engaged in a conversation with him. Why? Because he will cut you down in halacha. Lefi sheyesh imo shlosh me'os tshuvos b'tzaras habas shehi muteras. Because he can give you 300 different reasons as to why Tzara Sabas, as to why ultimately, again, the co-wife of the Erva is permitted. I just want to say something also just very interesting over here, which is very important because this also, especially in very important times that we live, just because you can prove that something is correct, or you can prove that something is not usser, doesn't mean that it's mutter. This is very important because you find this very often within many streams, even within orthodoxy, that will say that you can or should do certain things because, oh, it's not usser. You see from here, Yonason is able to go ahead and prove in 300 different ways that something is mutter. But yeah, the halacha is not like him because there's a process for halacha. There's a rabbin, there's a majority in halacha. There are other factors that go into the formulation of halacha. So very important, Yisod, just because you can prove that something is correct or you can prove that something is not usser, does not in any way make it mutter, normative, or acceptable. So yet, Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus says, be careful, don't get engaged in halacha with him, because if you get engaged in halacha with him, he's going to give you a very hard time. However, look what he says, and this is amazing. Aba meid ani alai, shamay ba'aretz, but I swear by the heavens and earth, Sha'al Meducha Zu Yashab Chagai Hanavi. On this, we'll say, Meducha literally is like a grinding mill. On this grinding mill, Chagai Hanavi sat, the prophet Chagai sat, V'amar Shlosha Dvarim. And Chagai, already, so we'll say, what Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus is pointing out over here, is that some of these halachos that we're discussing go way back before the Gemara, that Chagai the prophet already instituted. V'amar Shlosha Dvarim. Chagai said three things. What did Chagai say? Number one, Sara Sabas Asura. Number one, he said that the co-wife of an Erba is Asur. Co-wife of an Erba is Asur. Number two, Amon Umov Ma'asrin Ma'isur Sheni B'Shvias. What's that? It's actually very interesting. That the lands of Amon and Moab have to go ahead and give Ma'isur Ani during the Shemitah year. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Amon and Moab Yisraelim hadaran be'eretz Amon Moab, Jews who live in the lands of Amon and Moab, shekibesh Moshe misichon v'nizkachu b'kdushas Eretz Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu conquered from Sichon and Og, they were sanctified with Eretz Yisrael sanctity, v'achshav b'bayishini batla kidushasa. Now in the times of the second temple, we were seeing the Gemara, when they came back from Babel, they did not retake these lands or re-sanctify these lands. V'zorin b'shvias, therefore these lands are planted during the Shemitah year. V'tiknu lahen ma'aser, rishon ma'aser, ani b'shvias, kidim afarish lekaman, mipnei parnosas ani m'shev Eretz Yisrael, shin l'malecho b'shvias, l'fi shebata leket shicho peya, v'holkim shav noten leket shicho peya ma'aser. So we'll say, we will see, the Gemara is going to explain this in greater detail later on, but essentially what we're going to see is the lands of Ammon and Moab were sanctified by Moshe Rabbeinu when they went into Eretz Yisrael because they conquered those lands. But yet by Second Temple era, they were not re-sanctified. So Jews who were living there had to observe certain tithes, specifically the tithe for the poor, even on the Shemitah year. Because remember, during this year, Shemitah year, no tithes apply. There are no Trumas and Maisers that apply. However, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the lands of Sichon and Og, Maiser Ani applied, and we'll see that was a rabbinic enactment to provide for the poor during the Shemitah year. We'll discuss that in greater detail. Furthermore, Umekablim Gerim min ha-karduyin u'min ha-tarmudim, and you can accept converts from the Karduyin and from the Tarmudim. We will see ultimately what that is referring to as well. Tana. So we'll say, now, mission accomplished, remember. So you had Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva now clarified the matter. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus never said halacha follows. Beis Shammai said halacha follows Hillel, and the problem came up with his brother Yonah's son. So the Gemara says the Bantana, Kishenichnasu nichnasu pesach achad. When they came, when the three rabbis came to visit Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, they came, they entered through one entrance. Wait, Kish, bless you. Kish, yotzi yotzi b'shloshim sabim. Bless you. But when they left, they left through three different exits. That I will say, apparently the reason they left through three different exits was to avoid Yonasan. Nobody wanted to encounter Yonasan. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Pagabo Rabbi Akiva. So what happens? All right, two out of the three got away. Rabbi Akiva encounters Yonasan. Listen to this. Actually, so Rabbi Yonasan, Yonasan ben Hyrcanus, started asking Rabbi Akiva all of these different questions. But yet again, Yonasan was able to answer them, and Rabbi Akiva was not able to. So Yonas listened to this. Amrlo, Atul Akiva Sheshimcha Holich Misofa Olam Atzofo. So Yonas says, "Your Akiva, right? Your Akiva, everybody speaks about. Ashrecha Shezachisa L'Shem. You're very lucky that everybody thinks you're so great. Va'adayim Lo Higata L'Roi Bakar. But the truth is, you're not any better than the cattle herders, right? So pretty sharp." So listen to this, we'll say, listen to the humility of Rabbi Akiva. Amarlo, Rabbi Akiva, the truth is, afilu l'roi tzon. You're wrong. I'm not even as great as the sheep herders. I will say, apparently sheep herders were on even a lower level than the cattle herders. Rabbi Akiva said, you're right, you found me out. I also believe, like you're saying, I'm not great. I don't know why people talk about me. I don't know why people put me up on such a pedestal. I haven't even reached the level of a sheep herder. Incredible Gemara, just insight into the humility of Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say, now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to go through. So remember, the only reason we brought this whole thing up and the reason why this was important for our sukkah is because apparently, not only did we clarify that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus holds like Beis Hillel, but we've also established that what? That this halacha was already mentioned and already discussed by Chagai the Navi. And Chagai the Navi was the one who already, obviously Chagai is not talking about Beis Hillel, because Chagai HaNavi preceded Beis Hillel, but Chagai HaNavi already said that Saras Habas, the co-wife of an Erva, does not do Yibum. So now, I'm sorry? Because there were different Masoras. There are different Masoras. Again, there must have been someone else who also ultimately said something different. And also remember again, Chagai HaNavi, this is a different discussion, but when Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says that Chagai HaNavi said that, what does that mean? What does that mean? Chagai HaNavi is the ability to institute halacha. Is Chagai HaNavi saying an opinion? Others in that time might have been arguing on him. So Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was quoting this as another authoritative proof that the halacha follows Beis Hillel. But apparently, again, it wasn't ironclad. So the Gemara goes right there. So we'll see, now that we mentioned the three enactments of Chagai HaNavi, the Gemara talks about each of them. Amon u'mov ma'asrin ma'isra ani b'shvies. So remember again, Jews who live in the lands of Ammon and Moab, go ahead and take Maiser Ani. the tithe for the poor, even during the Shemitah year. Do Amar Mar, Harbei Krachin Kavshu Olim Mitzrayim. This is an amazing Gemara. When our ancestors came up from Mitzrayim, they captured many cities. Harbei Krachin, right below Kavshu Olim Bava. But Rabbos say we know. But yet, when our ancestors, out of destruction, the first base on Mitzrayim, were exiled to Bavel. When we came back from Bavel with Ezra, there were many areas that were conquered during the times of the, or I should say during the first kibush under Moshe, under Yoshua, that were not conquered under Ezra. Ukidusha Rishona, Kitchela Shaita, below Kitchela Silabu. And Rabbi said the sanctity of the first temple and the sanctity, or I should say the first sanctity of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, was only limited to as long as the Jews inhabited the land. But once the Jews were exiled, that sanctity was gone. And therefore, again, and Lamai said the only things that were re-sanctified were what? Were the areas that were reconquered and retaken when the Jews came up under Ezra. Now what happened on both sides? They nichum. Now they never re-sanctified the lands of Ammon and Moab. Now why not? Now, one simple reason they didn't do it is because they couldn't. It's because we were not nearly as powerful when we came back to the second temple as they were under Moshe and Yoshua. But they left those lands. They never tried to re-sanctify those lands. Why? Also, it's very important, halacha. Remember, again, there's always a concern. The Torah itself says there's a concern during the Shemitah year. And what's the concern during the Shemitah year? Manochal. What are we going to eat? So when they came back under Ezra and the second, to rebuild the second place, they had a good idea. Let's not re-sanctify the lands of Ammon and Moab. If we don't re-sanctify them, then what? Then they are not governed by Shemitah sanctity. If they're not governed by Shemitah sanctity, we could legislate that the tithe for the poor will still apply in the lands of Ammon and Moab during the Shemitah year. What does that do? It provides another source of tzedakah for the poor of Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. So this way, again, by now, again, Rabbosai, remember, all they're doing is they're not reconquering it anyway. Remember, any tithes outside of Eretz Yisrael are going to be rabbinic to begin with. So the rabbis, therefore, legislate differently Second Temple era, keep Ammon and Moab unsanctified, legislate tithes even during the Shemitah year. This way you provide for the poor. Next, Omekablim Gerim Mina Karduyim Vatamudim. We accept converts from the Karduim and the Talmudim. Ini, is that so? Rabbi Chesko said, "In Mekablim Gerim Mina Karduyim." We do not accept converts from the Karduim. Ravashi, no. Kartuyim Itmar. Rabbi said, no, you're mixing up. We accept Gerim from the Karduim. We don't accept converts from Kartuim. Itmar, excuse me. Kidamri and she, Kartuim Psulim. As people used to say, the Kartuim ultimately, again, are psulim. The Ikadamri, others say, Tani Rabbi Cheskel, Ein Mekabalim Gerim Mina Kartuim. Right? You can't accept converts from the Kartuim. My love, Hainu Kartuim, Hainu Karduim, are not the Kartuim and the Karduim the same peoples. Amar Rav Ashi Lo, Kartuyeh Luchud, the Karduyeh Luchud. No, two different nations. Kidamri Inshi, Kartuyeh Psile, as people say, that the people from Kartuim are psulim, and therefore we do not accept them as converts. Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, just so you understand over here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ein mekablim gerim mefarish lekaman shemamzerim hein Yisrael shenit women." I'll say, now this is very interesting. Now, why would you not accept converts from a particular nation? Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is, Rashi, very few nations that we don't accept converts from, pretty much, it's Ammon and Moab. Even Amalek, if somebody wants to convert, technically speaking, we accept converts from Amalek. So what's the percent of this? Rashi points to something very interesting. The problem with the Karduim, or I should say the Kartuim, was what? As we're going to see in a little bit, there was heavy Jewish intermarriage into this particular people, and there was a proliferation of Mamzerim. We'll discuss how that happened. And I will say, there's an interesting thing that if there is a suffix mamzerus, let's say there's a suffix that a person, within a particular Gentile nation, that there is a whole lot of Jewish, potential Jewish mamzerim, we are not mekarei them. And we do not go ahead and, quote unquote, convert them for the simple reason that mamzerus represents a significant genealogical problem for the Jewish people. As we know, therefore, again, the Gemara says, these kartuim, there's potentially a whole bunch of mamzerim in there. Leave them alone. Again, it sounds harsh, But at the end of the day, I would say it's a very important yisod that one of the things that is one of the foundation stones of the Jewish people is the needs of the collective always outweigh the needs of the individual. It's not fair to the individual mamzer. Okay, we understand that a lot of things in life are not fair, but the needs of the collective always outweigh the needs of the individual. So in this kind of case, again, converting or being makari these individuals ultimately creates a potential existential threat to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, says the Gemara, we do not, when we say, quote unquote, convert the kartuyim. Well, the Gemara is going to explain this in just a moment. No, the Gemara is not being mechalik over here. Either way, you'll see why. The real issue over here is a whole issue of lack of understanding of true identity. So the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment. Amar Rabashi, lo kartuyim lechud bekartuyim lechud. Excuse me. Kidami and Shiomsa. Rabbi Yochanan the Sabia, Dami Tarbayu. Rabbi Yochanan and Sabia both said, "Ein mekablen gerim min haTalmudim." We do not accept gerim. We do not accept converts from the Talmudim. Umir Ma Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Bahatzan, but we learned. Kalak samim habayim min harekem tohorim. We will say, and this is interesting halacha as well. If you look at Rashi, samim shenim tzu bebegadim habayim min harekem tohorim. The fish lo gazra akis min odi gechom. We will say the halacha is like this: If a woman has a stain of blood on her menstrual blood, on her clothing, so the halach is the following. As long as that stain is wet, it has the ability to convey tuma to something else. Once it dries, it no longer has the ability to convey tuma to anything. That is only true with menstrual blood from a Jewish woman. However, again, menstrual blood from a non-Jewish woman is not metame. It's not metame. So therefore, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that all ksamim, all stains that come from rekem, are tahorim. Atar, because again, now the assumption when you make a statement like that, what does that assume? That assumes that there are no Jews in Rekem. That's the nature of that assumption. Rabbi Huda says no. That Rabbi Huda says is that they're tamei. Why? Nipnei shehin gerim v'toim mibein ha'ovdeko. Excuse me, v'toim. So what happens? Because the Rashi says the shehin gerim v'damim mitamei. Because what happens? There are a lot of Jews when it says that they're gerim. What it means is that there are a lot of Jews there who are Jews but don't necessarily know that they're Jews, and they just make mistakes. My blood that comes from places that are exclusively Gentile in nature. Rashi says, V'toim, Shemiru Datam, they left their religion. V'gazru al kisnim sha'afapi shechatu shemiru Yisraelim heim. So also Rabbi Huda says that no, it's not true, that stains that come from Rekem are still tamei. Why? Because there's a large number of Jews who left their Judaism. But guess what? Even a Jew who leaves his or her Judaism is still Jewish, and therefore they're still governed by halacha, and therefore the ma'is of the stains are tmeim. However, but ma'is again, if you go ahead and you receive a stain from a place that is all ovdei kochavim, then the ma'is of such a stain will be tar. But we ask about this. Ha'pasek b'tani mibeina ovdei kochavim afilu min tarmut. And yet again, Lamaisa, what do we say? That this is true from, what does it mean? If stains come from Ovdei Kochavim, even if it comes from Talmud. So what do you see from here? Rashi says, Alma, lav b'safik Yisrael kamei abosai. So we just got finished saying that any place which has exclusively Gentile population, the stains that come from that place will be Tahar. And what's an example of a place with exclusively Gentile population? Talmud. So what do you see from here? That we just said before, the issue with Talmud is that there was a suffix, that there are mamzerim, that are mixed in there, but appear from here that no, it's not true that apparently in Talmud we assume that there's an exclusively Gentile population. Because we must remember, if there are mamzerim mixed in there, see, even if you're going to say you're not going to convert them, so to speak, but they're still Jews, they're still governed by halacha, and therefore the stains should be tamei. The fact that the stains are tahor indicates that there are no Jews there. But Rabbi Yochanan also meres, mekablen gerin mitarmut. This would seem to indicate to us that what? That Lamaisa, we would go ahead, and if somebody were to come and convert from Talmud, then what, Rabosai? Then what? Then we would allow that. Rashi says, Rabosai, remember, just follow this train of thought. If you're going to say that stains that come from Talmud are Tahorim, then what does that tell you? No Jews there. If there are no Jews there, then if somebody from Talmud wants to convert, then what? Then what? Then it's okay. What's like, because you know, it's interesting with the Gemara's pointing out over here, is that sometimes it is much easier to deal with Gentile lineage than it is to deal with Jewish lineage. We'll say, I'll tell you where this comes up just contemporarily. Often this comes up in cases of adoption. That sometimes it's interesting that sometimes that adoption of a clearly non-Jewish child from a halachic perspective could represent less difficulties and challenges than adoption of a Jewish child where, again, certain aspects of paternity or lineage are not necessarily known. It sounds counterintuitive, but that's the Gemara struggling with over here. That Lamaisa, again, if you tell me that the stains from Talmud are Tahorim, which means that, again, Lamaisa, there are no Jews there, then I should be able to go and be Makabel Gerim from Talmud as well. The Chitema, Zos, Los, really. Maybe you'll say, well, that's why he said this, but ultimately he doesn't hold of this. Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha kistan mishnah, that halacha follows a stan mishnah, to which the Gemara says, Amoroim ninu, malib Rabbi Yochanan. So I'll say, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, there is a machlokes amoroim about what Rabbi Yochanan actually said. Did Rabbi Yochanan permit from Gerim from Talmud, or not permit Gerim from Talmud? That is a machlokes amoroim about the Shit Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara says, what's the problem, by the way? So now we know we have machlokes about what the status of the people from Talmud is, but what is the problem with Talmud? I mean, Talmud, my time alone, why couldn't you accept Gerim from Talmud? Also, this is actually very interesting. Pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan v'Sabia. So Rabbi Yochanan and Sabia argued about this. Chad amar mishum avdei Shlomo, v'chad amar mishum benos Yushlaim. So both said they had a machlokes. One opinion said the problem with Talmud were the servants of Shlomo, and one said it was about the daughters of Jerusalem. So I'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Abdi Shlomo, Shenosu Bnos Yisrael, Machmas Oshon. I'll say, remember, we're learning this in the Shabbos afternoon shiur. So Shlomo Malach was fabulously wealthy, and that wealth spread to all those who worked for the king, including even his non-Jewish servants. So what happened? His non-Jewish servants, many of them, married Jewish women, Rashi says, Machmas Oshon, because of their wealth. Vidarin shan becheskas ovid kochavim, vikasavar ovid kochavim ve'evet haba bas Yisrael havlad mamzer. I will say, so now, what the Gemara is saying over here, this Gemara is representing a very unique shita, a shita which we do not paskin like lahalacha, but nevertheless, it's motivating the Gemara here, that if a Jewish woman has a child with a non-Jewish man, that child is a mamzer. So what happened in Talmud? So apparently Talmud was a popular spot where the servants of Shlomo, who married Jewish women, settled down and had children. Those children, according to this particular shita, would be considered mamzerim. What's Benos Yerushalayim? Look at Rashi. We'll see after you have pronounced Rashi, we'll see later on. So the Gemara says, B'chadam b'shum Benos Yerushalayim, b'shalom adam b'shum avdi Shlomo. So according to the opinion, it says that the problem with Talmud is that this is where the servants of Shlomo settle down with their families, because that opinion holds. Because they hold that when a non-Jew or a slave fathers a child with a Jewish woman, that child is a mamzer. What do you mean when you say because of the daughters of Yerushalayim? So Rav Yosef and Rabbanan, argue about what exactly this means. And they both quote Rabbi Abraham. Listen to this. Amr Tracer Alfe Gabri, Vishisa Alfe Kashtuye. So one says, when the enemies of the Jewish people entered into the Beis HaMikdash, there were 12,000 foot soldiers and 6,000 archers. The Chadam and the others said, no, Tracer Alfe Gabri, there were a total of 12,000 soldiers that entered into the Beis HaMikdash or entered into Yerushalayim. Uminayhu Shisa Alfe Kashtuye. And of the 12,000, 6,000 of them were archers. They both say, well, now what does this matter? At the time that the Ovdei Kochavim, the Gentile nations, came and swarmed the Beis HaMikdash, Hakol Nifnu Al Kesef Vizav, the majority came to plunder the wealth, right, this gold and the silver, the Haim Nifnu Al Benos Yishayim. It was terribly tragic. These 6,000 archers set their sights on the daughters of Yerushalayim. They ravaged the women. Shina Emar, Nashim bi Tzion Inu, the women of Tzion were afflicted, Besulos bi Ariyud, the virgins in the cities of Yehuda. So we'll say, so what happens, what the Gemara is referring to, Benos Yerushalayim refers to the fact that at Benebach, at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and was plundered, there was wide-scale rape and violation of Jewish women. And as a result of that, there was also, you know, it's also, when we think about the destruction of Yerushalayim, so we often just think about it in terms of destruction of a building. But the first of all, the loss of human life, there were 1.2 million people who were murdered during the times of the Second Day of Hamikdash. And again, and this is talking about First Temple, MLB as well, just the notion ultimately of the wide scale, just horrific things that happened to the women. I mean, it's hard to contemplate. But what happened over here is there were a huge number then of children that were fathered by these Gentile soldiers. And again, reflecting the view of the Gemara beforehand, that when a Gentile fathers a child with a Jewish woman, whether she's compliant or not, that child is a mamzer. That child is a mamzer. I'm going to show Rahman and Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, fine. So we'll say, so therefore, again, this was the issue with Talmud. So the issue with Talmud was even the fact that this was the place where the servants of Shlomo settled down with their families, and those children were mamzerim. Or it was the place ultimately that many of these women went to live after being violated by the Gentile oppressors. Either way, it was a city that was known for its mamzer population, and therefore it was a city that ultimately was kept somewhat at bay. So therefore, at least according to it's a machlokis, as we see, did we accept converts or not from the city of Talmud? Was machlokis amuraim abrab in Shidis Rabbi Yochanan. But either way, the point is now we understand why the genealogical ambiguity of this particular city was so intense. So the Gemara goes back to Mosi. Now the Gemara goes back to something you said before. Amr Shomar Ahmani, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, Pasuk Zeh Sar HaOlmano. Now Mosi, remember again when they came to visit Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. So the Hanina ben Dosa was introduced to the son of his old friend, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So what did he do? He quoted the pasuk, Dosa ben Hyrcanus, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus said the pasuk, Nari isi gam zakanti, Valora isi tzadik neza, v'zarma v'aki shlachim, right? I was a young man, I got old, and I never saw a tzadik who was forsaken. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan says, this pasuk was said by the Sar Ha'olam, was said by the angel in charge of the world. Rashi says, the Sar Ha'olam Malach. I will say it's actually very interesting, it's a much bigger topic, but Lamaisa again, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't micromanage every single detail of existence. He delegates. So there are certain angels that are in charge of major things in this world. So this pasuk was said by the Malach in charge of the world. Amru, Nar Haisi, Gam Zakanti. So the Gemara says, Man Amri, who said it? Ilema. So the Gemara says, how do I know this? How do I know that the Sar HaOlam is the one who said this pasuk? Because let's analyze this. Nari Sigan Zakanti. I was young and then I got old. My name, who said this? If you want to say it was God, Mi'ika Zikna Kane. Does God get old? The Ela David Amre. Maybe you'll say that David HaMelech said it. It can't be. Because Mika Shishule Kulihai. David HaMelech really get old? Well, like David HaMelech died at the age of 70. The truth is 70 is not old, so he could have never really made this statement. Ela Shmamina. Sara Olam. Rabbi Gemara says, it's almost like by process of elimination. If God didn't say it, David HaMelech didn't say it, it must have been said again. Excuse me, skip a couple of steps. But the Gemara says, it was said by the angel who oversees the world. What is the meaning of the pasuk that says, we'll say here, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Yodo paras sar al kol machmadel. That literally the enemy has spread out its hand on all those things that are precious. What does that refer to? Ze Amon and Moab. This refers to the nations of Amon and Moab. B'sha'ashin nichnesu odei kochavim lehechol. At the times when our enemies enter into the Beis HaMikdash, hakol nifnu al kiasef is zahav. Right? What happened? Everybody went after the gold and silver. But it's also reflecting the fact that when Babel came in and destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, we know historically many other nations jumped on the Babel bandwagon as an opportunity to vent their fury against the Jewish people. So as everyone is plundering the gold and silver, this is amazing. Where do Ammon and Moab go after? Behem nifnu al Sefer Torah. They go after the Sefer Torah. Why do they go after the Sefer Torah? Amru, they said, Zeh shekasov lo yovo Ammoni u'Moabi b'kal Hashem. They were so upset because what does the Torah say? Torah says that the Ammoni and the Moabi may not enter into the assembly of God. Yisrof ba'ish. Let that Torah be burnt in the fire. So everybody's going after the gold and silver. They're going after the Sefer Torah, angry that the Torah singles them out for non-entry into the Jewish people. Siva Hashem. Siva Hashem Yaakov Sviva Tzarav. So let's see now the Gemara again quotes the Pasuk. from Eicha, literally, Siva Hashem Yaakov, Savivav Tzarav, God commands Yaakov, who is surrounded by enemies, Amarav Kegon, Humanya Lepumnara. What's an example that we're surrounded by enemies? Like the nation of Humanya that sits close to the Jewish community of Pumnara. Rashi is over here, Humanya, Yivanimim, the city of Humanya is a Greek city, Umatsirin Libne Pumnara Shem Yisrael Aniyim. And they afflict the Jewish community in Pumnara, which was a community of paupers. Meaning wherever we go, Rabbosai, there are always enemies that surround us. Amar Rav Yehuda. Let's finish this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Also, this is very interesting. This is really very interesting. Ovid Kocham Shekidish Shemazah. Rabbosai, if a non-Jew is Mekadesh a woman today, say a Gentile is Mekadesh a woman in these days, Choshishin Likidushin. We have to suspect that perhaps the Kiddushin is valid. Now, why would you suspect that Kiddushin done from a non-Jew to a Jewish woman would be valid? Also, listen to this. Shema me'asaras shvatim. Because maybe he's a member of one of the 10 lost tribes. Maybe he's a member of one of the 10 lost tribes. One second. Baha called the parish, what are you talking about? I'll say, just, we go by robe. And the robe is what? The robe is that the majority of the world is not Jewish. So why would you assume that he's potentially one of the lost tribes? Which the Gemara answers, Beduchta Dekivi. We're talking about what Rabbah say. We're talking about a place where Rashi says, Beduchta Dekivi bin Eser Shvatim. B'chol kavol kamechzan achtadami. B'heichol kivi d'chsiv b'aynachim b'osir b'chal b'chiba. So let's say, we're talking about over here what? In a place where it was known that the 10 tribes used to reside. So in a place like that, if a non-Jew is Mekadisha, a woman, there is potential that what? That perhaps he's one of the remnants of the lost tribes, and therefore you'd have to be choshesh for the kiddush. I will say we're not finished. Really, Mar is going to go on with that topic tomorrow. Mirat Hashem, but we'll stop over here. Mavzer's kiddush is tops.